Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Live from the GTDG.com studios in downtown San Francisco, you're listening to 95.7 The Game.
We're going to play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Bump up the volume. It's time to play ball.
Welcome to the championship rounds of Joe, Lo, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. It is a Football Friday brought to you by Mancini's Sleep World, Golden State Lumber, and Harris Ranch Beef here on 95.7 The Game. We got a lot to get to in the final hour. The great Phil Savage will join us in about 25 minutes at 9:30 to preview Niners Arizona. We'll also start to get a feel for who Phil likes in the upcoming NFL draft. We won't focus primarily on that, but if the Niners need a corner or a pass rusher or an offensive lineman or a wide receiver, check, 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 check. They need all that. Who does Phil like coming out? He's one of the best minds in the business for that. If you want to hit us up on the text line, do so, 95795 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, the Chilton Auto Body text line. Good to have them on board. Great people from what you've said.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good people there at Chilton Auto Body.
I'll have to crash Nikki's car this weekend and then take it in.
Oh, please,
see if they do good work.
Yeah, without
a major
doubt.
Accident. I won't involve children or other people. I'll just crash it into
the
wall, take it into Chilton Auto Body.
Just sit tight until Chubbs turns 16, and then you'll get all the auto body work done you need.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, that's how it works. I got pulled off a golf course about 6 months ago because my main man, Quest, had...
Not pulled out of a meeting.
No. Pulled off after a triple bogey on 9, Coach. I was making the turn. Shout out Moraga Country Club. Apparently the bumper had mysteriously fallen off because, you know, happens all the time that the bumper just falls off.
Right? Coach, you know that.
It wasn't because he parked over one of those concrete barriers and ripped it off. Yeah, I couldn't have been it. No, but it was daddy to the rescue.
He actually told you the bumper fell off.
That was the initial line. Dad, the bumper fell off. Son, how did the bumper fall off? I just parked and I started to back out and then the bumper fell off. Son, now I'm going to get mad. And we had a recap yesterday.
You had to bring you back. Yeah.
Because yesterday he's like, yeah, you got so mad. I said, I didn't get so mad. He said, well, you were swearing. Son, I always am swearing. That's not the standard for how mad I was. I was a bit angry, but I wasn't so mad.
Don't make me pull at it. You just tell Dad, I parked on the curb. I was backing up and I pulled the bumper. Instead, you got to go step by step. Okay, so what happened here? Oh, really? So what happened here? Then finally you get to it. And that's what starts to get your blood a little boiling.
You've been through this as well.
Oh, of course.
With the daughters or with Lil Lo?
I'm with Lil Lo. The girls are, you know, they try to get over it. You know, girl. I mean, Lo, he's a slickster. I mean,
Did you ever end up sending that $200?
No.
What was the text yesterday? Were you here in the room?
Dad,
need $200. Make it happen.
Yeah.
Make it happen, please. Sorry. He did say please.
Yeah, make it happen,
well,
please.
That's nice. At least he's not.
Make it happen, please.
My text.
He really needs to put in a lot of work to get the $200 to make that happen. That's not the issue.
No, it's not.
The issue is, what do you need it for, son?
Right. And you know what I text back? Get a sack this week and I'll send it to you. And put it,
we've got a Luther Campbell situation here. We're rewarding players for play on the field.
And what does he get?
This is a whole Miami scandal.
Yeah, and what does he do? Bring me a bunch of happy faces and moguls. really? You know what I'm saying?
He's all big on the emoticons. I got the, I finally got a response from Mr. Celebrity 5 days after I texted him.
After the upset over Ohio State.
5 days?
They upset Ohio State. The people are pouring onto the field.
Yeah.
Now, granted, we picked the game and beat the book.
Right.
But it wasn't, my happiness wasn't for that. My happiness was for him. Genuinely thrilled for him, you, the program.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled. And I know that he's going to go out and enjoy himself, have a big night. So I don't expect any response, but I'm like, I want to weigh in. He's going to look at his phone. He's going to see a lot of messages. I want to tell him, congratulations. Savor this moment. Remember something like this forever.
Absolutely.
Enjoy it.
That's a
because
good.
You'll be 30 years from now, you'll look back on that win. That win is something you will remember forever. So don't be an idiot. Don't blow it off or blow off your responsibilities. Take in everything. Go nice and slow. I think it was Thursday, yesterday. Hey, just saw this. Ha ha, thanks.
Did you tip him off low?
No, he didn't. He would never do that. No, he knows. No. Because we're both trying to monitor.
Exactly.
Trying to bring this up right now.
You are jumping in.
My phone.
Anna has jumped in and almost you got your head cut off earlier with it because you said, okay, Giannis, and they got you.
What's wrong?
See, you came in there.
Of course I'm going to go.
Yeah, here it is. I just saw this.
Ha ha ha.
Three straight laughing, crying faces.
That's what he does.
Thanks, my guy.
It's like hieroglyphs.
Here's my response.
My guy.
Here's my response. I, gigantic heart, Michigan State this weekend.
No,
I would send that to him. No, I'm just kidding.
You should have.
I'm not sending that to him. He's a kid.
No, you should have sent that to
but
him.
I don't mind if Big Nine gets double teamed out of the equation.
And he hits you with, my guy. Oh, that's his new thing now. All right, my guy. Like, dude, come on, coach.
Midwestern thing.
That's all Deuces and
calling
Marrow.
Each other guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Love Deuces and Marrow. Instead of,
Yeah, but they use it as an insult, don't they? Look, my guy.
Are you talking about Trumpito and whatnot?
So that's what's happening? I just got Trumpito?
My guy. You got to get him.
He hit you with my guy.
Put the heart on it.
I'm going to buy a Michigan State flag. I'm just going to walk down the streets of San Francisco waving a Michigan State flag.
Honestly.
No one's going to know what it means, except me.
Inside joke.
You totally should take a picture and send it to him, though. Just because you can. Just
put a giant sign up that says, go Sparty. Yeah. And then you and I underneath it, thumbs up.
That'll teach him.
Yeah, that'll really, yeah.
Nice picture, my guy.
I'll link it to his Instagram page. Oh, God. Well, we drew out enough time there that we might as well just tell you about the 95.7 The Game signing bonus. This right now, right here, is your chance to win $1,000. Text code word SAFE to 72881. That's SAFE to 72881. This is a multi-state contest. Message and data rates apply.
Before we get into something, Joe, I just wanted to little sidebar here. It was interesting earlier how you guys were on me and we were having this little discussion and I didn't mention LeBron.
It's better not.
It's not. It's, I know. I'm just trying to make
I couldn't even say it better
I
not
know,
be about LeBron
I,
it, and you said LeBron.
Of course it is, coach.
No, it's not. It's not. I did not.
But you said the name.
Because
that's like me saying, guys, I'd like to talk to you about something. It's not about me hating you. It's about life. Well, okay, wait a minute. What do you want to talk about with life? Oh, I just want to see if, everyone here has given up soda. Well, wait a minute. What about that part where you hate us? It's not about me hating everybody.
Right.
It's not about that.
I'm trying to go.
Even though I said it, it's not about it.
I'm trying to go, singer. Y'all just follow me now. And so Miss Lovely Anna, quiet all day, just jumped in. Oh, you guys talked about different guys just trying to, get back at me. And she comes with Giannis. And I'm like, but no. And then you guys got her. It's good. See, if you're going to go and bring something up, you have to realize you have to have a plan. My plan was if the NBA, when you're talking about the NBA, who's playing with Giannis? I was talking about all the other guys. I never mentioned that guy's name. I was talking about young guys. You don't hear me talking about Cleveland, but what is everyone around the NBA, everyone always talking about? It's a team that my guy is on, my guy. So when you think about it, the way that I was bringing it out, it's always that's the question, the narrative that's out there. Universal. It's not just a Lorenzo point of view on anything. So when you jumped in that, you should have made sure that you had some backup when you talk about Giannis.
Oh, that's what that was all. That was
about
Anna.
It was getting her.
Yeah. She, it was quite a sidebar.
She brings up Giannis once every 2 weeks, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a pre-connection. We tolerate it. We move on. You bring up LeBron every hour of every day.
LeBron James.
It's nonstop.
And now you're mixing your tea.
And
if you started the conversation, you're going to have to address the retorts.
Did I bring – so this is the big question is to you guys, and you guys can check the tape. I didn't bring LeBron up to
say – Yes, you did.
It was the Lakers.
And you're talking about
NBA narratives. That's your whole point of this sidebar is NBA narratives. There are so many other NBA narratives, and as the Warriors are embarking on an East Coast trip that does not involve – the Los Angeles Lakers, I felt as if you were going out of your way yet again to inject your beloved purple and gold into a conversation that really had no grounds, no bearing on the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, if you want to talk about, the possible trade of Jimmy Butler, the destruction of the Houston Rockets, the Knicks, Nets, and Bulls trip. These are all things that are more appropriate than going out of your way.
Are they really, though?
Yes, veering four lanes wide to just get a piece of your beloved purple and gold. I felt like it was a dramatic over-injection. into the conversation.
And I think the people have had enough as well. And you can hit us up 95795
beautiful.
On the Chilton Auto Body text line. But I think they've had enough, quite frankly. The guy isn't even competition for them anymore. That's the problem. When he was competition, sure, we could bring it into the conversation. Maybe even have a few laughs. He's not competition anymore.
When we say that, though, be careful. They played with two of his starters not there last night, and they beat the team that everyone said.
Oh, an October game against Denver. Oh, yeah. This should be good. This is going to be your case.
No, it's not a case. It's the fact that how good are these young guys? We already know what my guy is. We already know what my guy is.
Yeah,
how good are the young guys? I think that's the question in the narrative.
Question
of the
for
NBA.
LA Sports Talk. We don't care. I don't care because, quite frankly,
I think you do.
No, not really. Because I used to find him interesting. You ruined that for me. I can't root for him anymore. I used to root for him, not against the Warriors, but I like to watch him play basketball. You've ruined that for me. I can't watch that guy anymore. Every time I see him, it's like, if he has a good night, I got to hear about it. If he doesn't, I'm going to have to hear about this fool coming in blaming everybody else. It's not even going to be part of the show sheet. That's the amazing thing. It's not like we come in and go, hey, where should we fit the Lakers into the program?
Then how do you feel?
We actually never talk about fitting him into the program. And yet, every day, here we are.
Here we are. I'd rather talk about Brandon Ingram's potential to be a UFC fighter than I would about LBJ. Nice triple-double last night. Great. Lakers are 2-3. Ooh, we hear footsteps all the way across the country at Madison Square Garden. Rat's ass is what it is for me.
Can we just get that Oscar music? Like, and every time LeBron comes up, just get it ready, like walking off the stage.
To play him off?
The conversation.
Yeah, yeah, get that and have it ready every 4.5 minutes, which is what I think we're currently pacing out. Close to a marathon record around here. All right.
Big weekend for the Warriors, though, coming up, right?
Yeah, but the whole segment was supposed to be about the Niners. That's the problem with your
sidebars.
Just reckless sidebar.
We just did an hour of it.
How do you go on the win? I don't even have a transition.
It's okay.
How do you go on the win and you get a win in Arizona? And it's as ridiculous as that sounds.
No, it doesn't sound ridiculous.
Poor teams have one thing in common. Poor teams can always find a way to maybe eke out a home victory, but they don't go on the road and have sustained success. You will see this every single year. You'll see these teams heading into November. They might be sitting 4-3, and you're like, they're a little bit better than expected. Remember Miami sitting 3-0? They had beaten Tennessee at home, and they had beaten the Raiders at home, and then they went to Foxborough for the big game against the Patriots. Is this the year that the Dolphins are finally going to get through? They get blown out by 40. And since then, they've been doing nothing but getting blown out. Sure, they had a fluky win against the Bears, but the Bears are another example. You send them out on the road, what happens? They blew it against Green Bay. They blew it in Miami. Good teams win on the road. It's one of the most telling characteristics of a quality football team. I don't expect the Niners to be a quality football team, but when it's that difficult to go anywhere and pull out a win, let alone a place like Arizona, which is the opposite of daunting, how do you find a way to eke this one out? How do you find a way to put number 2 in the win column so that when you come home, we're not talking about another disaster Monday morning? Really, this is about us.
Bottom line, the amount of mistakes the San Francisco 49ers is making, you won't win another game. If they continue to make these mistakes and lose the turnover battle, Joe, they'll lose in Arizona. Arizona's going to get to the perimeter. They're going to use Jones and saying, okay, they've got a new offensive coordinator, Leftwich the quarterback, and they're going to say, how do we get this? We're not going to run the running back in between, necessarily between the guard and the center. We're going to try to reach block. We're going to double team on Buckner, and we're going to go in 12 personnel, and we're going to try to get that in, go ahead and, you know, trying to tray up, tight end and tackle, tray up to the linebacker, and they're going to try to get to the perimeter. I guarantee you, you're going to see more boots out of Arizona than you've seen. You're going to see more perimeter runs just trying to get to the end to try to reach those defenders, and they're not going to necessarily try to run inside. They're going to try to make this defense run. Because San Francisco 49ers haven't shown you that they're disciplined and they're laying gaps in responsibility. So you're going to look for Arizona to try to stretch Johnson to the outside to try to him to pick his way and put pressure on the defense right away and try some boots. I look for them to do that. San Francisco 49ers have to be stout against the run. They got to make the quarterback beat them. And they understand that. You can't turn the ball over, and they can't turn the ball. They got to win. You might have one turnover, but you got to go get two. If you have two, then you need to get four. You got to win that battle, and you got to make sure you're clean on special teams if you're going to win in Arizona, because this is an Arizona team now that Leftwich is. This is a guy that's in there in that offensive meeting talking to those guys and saying, guys, I'm going to make this better. Hey, I'm going to get you involved. I'm going to call. So he's what he's done, and that's what players would do. That's why I talked about it's very important for the Niners to have a fast start, because what's going to happen, Leftwich, now you have a guy that's already been talking to – all the Fitzpatrick, talking to all the different players already and saying, look, I'm going to get you involved. Hey, I know how to make you look good. Hey, talking to running back. I know. So what you've done is re-energize the team. This is a very, very scary situation for the San Francisco 49ers. This is just not going down and saying, okay, we're going to not turn the ball. We're winning this game. You have an offensive coordinator that's got his first mark in the National Football League as an OC, and he wants guys to play for him. Look for this game to be different than what
he hasn't done it though. So
hold on, just
oh yeah,
relevant, poignant content. Look at this slow clap. I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that. I'm not being sarcastic.
I think you are.
I really enjoyed that.
I think you did. I
did.
Yes.
It made me realize this. You lose this weekend, there's a good chance that the Cardinals go 2-14 and both their wins come against you.
Yeah.
And if you think that you can allow that to happen and not have us laugh at you and make fun of you all offseason, you got nothing coming. Local teams want favorable coverage. We all know this. Anyone would. It's natural. You lose 2 to Arizona and they go 2-14, 3-13, and those wins are against you. See you later. You know what this offseason is going to be like? I don't want to hear about Garoppolo and McKinnon and their little reality TV show of ACL buddies. No one's going to care about that. You're going to lose. There is a good chance Arizona goes 2-14 this year if they win this weekend. They are terrible.
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 They were terrible against you the first time. Josh Rosen was 10 for 25. That's 40%. And the running back, 18 carries for 55. 3 yards a tote. That's also not very good. Yet, they beat you by 10 points. And it's because of what you said, Lo. It was the turnovers. You have 5 giveaways. Those numbers all of a sudden don't matter. But you can look as a defense, Robert Saleh, and you can finally say, guys, this is a game where we can pin our ears back. And as much as Byron Leftwich, the new offensive coordinator, is going to tell his guys, we got new plays coming and we're going to revitalize this offense, it's his first time being a coordinator. So if you're Robert Saleh, you're probably licking your chops thinking, if we can disguise our fronts, if we can mix up the blitzes, if we can show Byron Leftwich a bunch of different things that he hasn't seen on tape, all of a sudden now the plays might come in late. The adjustments are coming in late. You can't audibleize because you're running out of time. And you put this offensive coordinator on his heels. So if I'm Robert Saleh, I'm looking at this game as a golden opportunity because first time around, you dominated their offense. 55 yards for David Johnson and Josh Rosen, 10 of 25. The defense did its job. And you're looking at Byron Leftwich and you're saying, this guy's brand new. He's never done it. It's not like it's a 70-year-old coordinator in his 10th stop. So I think if you're Saleh, this is a game where you're telling your defense, this is our time, guys, to show that we're not a laughing stock.
The difference is you're playing at home. You're not playing in San Francisco and you should have got dominated. You're playing in Arizona. You're at home. Things are going to be a little bit in your favor if you can get this crowd going. If you can get this crowd going and say, okay, let's stay ahead of the sticks. So now I'm going to say, okay, if Richard Sherman's playing, let's go away from him. Who else can cover man-to-man? Who else can cover the long ball? Who else can do that? Who's else playing soft? These cornerbacks are very fragile on the San Francisco 49ers. Let's double move them. They're going to be playing soft. Okay, let's make them. You know what I'm going to do? Tell the quarterback, I'm going 10 yards, hook, curls, doing all this stuff until they start tightening up their coverage. Then, boom, let's go by them. So, okay, here's the deal. We understand where they're coming from, the pressure. Where's the pressure? Okay, let's block these things up. Let's find a hole in them. So you can look at it. I understand. This is a team, you're right. Arizona, this is a game that the Niners should win. But I'm telling you now, you got a guy that's in that locker room, the guy that's in as a new coordinator. Hell, have you been on? You see certain things. Guys play for him. You talk about different odds, all the different things that happen, Joe. It goes to show you. You talk about new coach, new defensive coordinator. Things happen. Look no further than Tampa Bay. Look what happens when sometimes guys get the things that they want. All of a sudden, now you're telling a guy who's been, he's looking at this offense saying, man, they don't know how to go to me. And now Leftwich saying, no, you're going to him on this play. It's going to be open. Now you're telling that receiver, I'm coming to you. Just win. When other ways you had a situation where the plays were just called, you go, you out there, you meander out there, you go line up and you think, okay,
going
I don't have a chance.
Motions.
Going through the motions. Now you got Dave Johnson just saying, okay, we're not running you necessarily in between the guard and center. We're going to go to the perimeter. We're going to go 12 personnel.
Get him in the space.
Get him, exactly. Morons. And now I'm going to go get you out in the space. I'm not letting you go in between the tackles. I'm getting you out in space. And now you're going to be out there one-on-one with the safety. Because we're going to get that double team. We're going to block down. We're going to cut the defense. So you start talking that. And then you have it in practice to walk through. And you go through it. And you slow things down and say, guys, we can win this game. So it's going to be Arizona. That's why it's very important for the San Francisco 49ers to get off to a fast start. Because if they don't, and they're in a trail position, I think Arizona wins this game.
Let me throw this at you. No particular order. Who are the five worst teams in the NFL? I've got a list right here. Like I said, no particular order. Just give me the bottom five.
Our two teams, Oakland and San Francisco.
They're on my list. Yeah.
Arizona. I would throw Buffalo in there. Okay. And then,
we're doing so well there.
Yeah, it had been two
gotta
straight hours.
Now we're behind the sticks. It's second gotta and 13.
I had Buffalo when your mic was off, so now we're looking for that fifth team. I gave Buffalo the two Bay Areas in Arizona. Here's where you would fill in with the red light on with that fifth team.
Well, you got to actually, believe it or not, you got to throw Cleveland there.
Well, that's close. I had that. This is very subjective. I'd say the New York Giants.
Oh, yeah, that's
the one. If you want to go with them.
That's the one.
The point I'm getting at with that, maybe it is Cleveland. I'm not going to argue against
that. I hope it's Cleveland.
But I'm going to say if it's the Giants, you are going against the three of the five worst teams in the NFL over the next 3 weeks. 2-1 is a must, unless you want to be a joke, unless you want to be laughed at. No one wants to be laughed at. They're still trying to win. And, you know, we've seen these epic rants. The other day was at least Smith came out defending Derek Carr. No one wants to be laughed at, but this is your week. This is your stretch for both local teams. This is the laughing week. This is the laughing stretch. If the Niners go 1-2 or 0-3 over the next 3 weeks, forget about it. Forget about it. Forget about trying to sell any sort of dream next season, because we did that this year. And you know what? Things go south, but you got to try to manage. At some point, 52 guys have to get together and find a way to win a football game against Arizona. No one's asking you to beat the Rams. Don't worry about that. That ship has sailed. No one's going to ask you to beat Seattle this season. And when the Bears come to town at the end of the year, no one's going to ask you to win that game either. But they are going to ask you to win this one. And if you really are competing, you're going to have to find a way to beat either Oakland or the Giants over the next 2 weeks. Otherwise, completely unacceptable. It's going to be jokes and mockery the rest of the way out. I mean, I'm not going to want to hear, oh, you know, coverage isn't favorable. Why do you guys talk about the Niners like that? Because they stink. This is your opportunity to prove you don't stink. Find a way to band together and beat a really lousy football team. Now, we're going to talk to Phil Savage, but we got something special for everybody. 10 years ago today, this epic rant.
Vernon, just it was something that I told everybody at the very beginning of the week. I will not tolerate players that think it's about them when it's about the team. No. You know what? This is how I believe, okay? I'm from the old school. I believe this. I would rather play with 10 people and just get penalized all the way until we got to do something else, rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. It is more about them than it is about the team. I cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it. I want winners. I want people that want to win.
If you're not listening to Warriors basketball, you're missing this.
Curry now for about 30. Heat! Curry, step back off the dribble three. Are you kidding me?
Don't miss a second of Warriors basketball.
Fires away. Got it. Ridiculous.
Only on the home of the NBA champs, 95.7. The game. Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
And down the stretch they come. Final half hour, the greatest radio program in the world.
Damn!
Asterisk, you know, very, very subjective statement there.
Damn!
Neither here nor there at the moment. You just doing your Michael Jackson?
He's doing his jam. This is a jam,
this,
by the way.
You know this was it, boy.
Yeah, he's doing his thing over there.
It's good stuff. It's really nice for you to dance while on radio. Everyone gets to enjoy it. It's something for everybody. That's a move, man. Stacking the Shelves, and the other one I recently invented, the toddler.
Oh, that's
they were
right.
calling it in Chicago, if you remember. The toddler.
Awesome.
can never go back it. To Chicago again. Former NFL general manager, catch him now as a tremendous analyst for Sirius XM NFL Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, Phil Savage joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Phil, thanks for your time. How you doing?
Well, good morning, guys. Hope it's a great football Friday for you all.
It absolutely is, and we appreciate you mentioning that because that's what we want to talk to you about. Before we get to the local teams, let me ask you this. In one hand, I'm giving you the Rams and the Chiefs. In the other hand, you have the other 30 NFL teams. Which hand wins the Super Bowl?
Well, I tell you, the Rams have been extremely impressive so far this year, and the Chiefs have been sensational as well. I'm not sure Kansas City has as much defense as L.A. does, though. So I'm going to take the Rams versus the Field.
Wow, strong. Not even needing Kansas City, he'll take the Rams versus the Field. When you look at the Field, you probably don't immediately go to Arizona and San Francisco as your your best hopes to outlast the Rams and win the Super Bowl. But you look at a game like this, and you see two teams that are looking for a victory. How do you see this one playing out as opposed to the debacle that happened the first time around when the Niners gave it away five times?
Yeah, of course, this game was plagued by turnovers. Both equations, the Cardinals just recently fired their offensive coordinator, Mike McCoy. Byron Leftwich will be making his debut with Josh Rosen, who obviously had a really tough outing in their most recent game against the Denver Broncos. But the Cardinals have really had the 49ers' number, as you guys know, seven times in a row. And I think it all comes down to which team can win the turnover margin. I really do. And so that comes down to C.J. Beathard, who is a seasoned veteran compared to Josh Rosen. But can they take care of the football on the road against this Cardinals team that, you know, really looked impressive during preseason, but it just goes to show the preseason means absolutely nothing because they've been woeful so far, really, on both sides of the football.
I couldn't agree with you more. When you take a look at these two teams, give me the pros and cons for where the San Francisco 49ers have an advantage, a distinct advantage, over the Arizona Cardinals.
You know, I think that the biggest advantage they would have is just the fact that C.J. Beathard does have a degree of experience. He's played in games. I think he understands what he needs to do for the 49ers to win, and primarily that means not turning the football over. I think they've done a good job of working what I would call the mini field with Matt Breida and George Kittle. So, you know, that is somewhat secure in terms of being low percentage in terms of turning the football over. And then, but on the flip side, one of the challenges for the 49ers will be the fact that they will face a new offensive coordinator. And we don't know right now how much Leftwich will change or if he'll continue to go down the same path that McCoy was on. I can't imagine them making wholesale adjustments, but it will be different. And they have no background in terms of going against Leftwich. So that's a bit of a concern going into a game like this where you're facing a coordinator that you've never seen before.
Phil Savage joining us here on 95.7 The Game. It was an interesting week for the Oakland Raiders, who shipped former first-round pick Amari Cooper to the Dallas Cowboys in exchange for a first-round pick. When you heard the news, what was your first thought? Some felt Jerry Jones got a great deal on a wide receiver. Some thought John Gruden got the best of Jerry Jones. How did it land with you?
You know, I think if the Raiders' record was reversed, we wouldn't even be talking this way. But because John Gruden is armed with a 10-year contract, $100 million, the team did not get off to a very good start. Now they can cut their losses, shed the ballast, and get ready for the future. They do that in terms of the Khalil Mack trade, which is a whole different scenario than Amari Cooper. But I wasn't surprised seeing the Raiders' record and now getting the true sense that they are pointing towards Las Vegas. I think for the Cowboys, I mean, look, the lesson has been learned. They gave two number one picks years ago for Joey Galloway, a wide receiver from Ohio State who now does work for ESPN. So at least it wasn't too number one. For the position itself, look, wide receivers are a dime a dozen. They're being produced at a record-breaking level from the college game because everybody's in somewhat of a spread offense. But I think Amari Cooper, a change in scenery, is going to do quite well for him. You know, I covered him at Alabama as the radio analyst during his time in Tuscaloosa. Obviously, he got off to a fast start in Oakland. It had tailed off in the last year and a half. I think part of it was some nagging injuries and just the fact that, you know, he's not a real outspoken personality. He's quiet by nature. But I do think between he and Michael Gallup, their third-round pick from this past draft, and Cole Beasley, the roles will be identified and filled by that group of three receivers. And I think it'll be a good fit with Dak Prescott. And look, the Cowboys, you know, have to decide long-term, is Dak really the guy? And they can get closer to that answer by having a healthy Amari Cooper on their team.
Seems like the trade deadline for football is starting to heat up and approximate that in baseball and basketball a little bit. Are there certain positions, though, Phil, that you wouldn't look to acquire at the deadline because it's too hard to bring that player up to speed midseason?
You know, I think that the mentality on trade, midseason trades, has really changed. I think you have a new generation of GMs. I think the salary cap ramifications are more easily managed today than maybe they were 10 or 15 years ago. And the other thing is I think because of this trickle-up effect from the college game to the NFL game, I think that you're having more younger coaches that are willing to take on the task of bringing in a player and getting him up to speed in maybe a simpler scheme than maybe what we had years ago. I don't know if that's 100% true, but there's definitely more movement here at the trade line in the NFL than ever before. And I think it's just because of a new generation, so to speak, in the front office and the willingness of coaches to maybe simplify their scheme, saying, look, you know, we can get this guy up to speed over the next few weeks. It won't take, you know, 6 weeks to get him on the field.
Sure. When you think about these two teams here in the Bay, can you see them trading any more players? Do you see the Niners making a trade for someone? And do you see the Raiders trading or unloading more players besides a Conley?
You know, I could definitely see the Raiders making another move or two. I don't know that I would sense that the 49ers would do it. Look, the 49ers, I think, really believe that they have a good team that's been derailed by injuries, so they're going to just try to fight through it and do the best they can. Because a trade at this point, really, I'm not sure how much good it would do them. You know, I think they've just been battered by all these injuries. It's affected both sides of football, and clearly the loss of Jimmy Garoppolo was a game changer for them in terms of their one loss record. So I wouldn't anticipate movement from the Niners, but when you talk about the Raiders, I think, you know, any and everybody is probably still on the table as they get ready to really tear down and then try to rebuild this football team under John Gruden.
Phil Savage with us here on 95.7 The Game. I want to jump back to the Niners for just a moment. Reuben Foster going through some sophomore struggles. Injuries have been an issue. Missed tackles have been an issue. Obviously, you know, he's working through some things and the team's trying to get better day by day, but it's been a rough go of it here. It's been a rough go of it, Phil. How is he going to take it to the next level? Is there a next level for Reuben Foster?
You know, I think that the offseason, look, some of these guys are so good that year after year they can just roll out there and play, and Reuben's got that kind of talent. I would think that the offseason definitely had an impact in terms of the distractions and just, you know, is he in, is he out, what kind of training is he doing? And to me, he's a player that really has to be on point to reach his full potential. I don't know, you know, I have not followed him as closely since he left Alabama to go to the 49ers, but to me, his focus, and you've got to work with him in terms of having some support around him to really maximize his true ability.
I know it's going to take another season, but in your opinion, how does Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa translate to the next level? Does he have what it takes to be a star in the National Football League?
I don't think there's any question about it. I'm an evaluator that typically does not overhype, you know, high school and college players because, look, there's an end of the road when you get to the NFL. It's tough. And this Tua Tagovailoa has been absolutely off the chart. He has exceeded the expectations that were placed on him after the national championship win, and it was talked about for 9 months. And he has surpassed what people thought was even the highest upside for him. He's got 25 touchdown passes, no interceptions, and people point to the Alabama schedule. But, look, that would be tough to do against air. And you guys have lived through it with all the turnovers the 49ers have had.
We breathe there.
Tough. And Tua, to me, he's not only a first-round talent, he's at the very top of the first round. You can point to his height. That'll be something that some teams will try to nick him on. But the reality of it is, and the player I've compared him to, and, you know, a lot of people don't remember what Steve Young looked like as a player. It's been so long ago. But he is a Steve Young type of talent. He's got mobility. He's got an instinctive flair that is off the chart. He can see the field. He's really way ahead of the curve at such a young age. He's a phenom. There's no two ways about it.
Tremendous stuff as always. Former NFL GM. Check him out now as a terrific analyst for SiriusXM NFL Radio. Phil Savage with us here on 95.7 The Game. Phil, we always appreciate your time. Thank you for joining the program. Have yourself a great weekend.
Guys, I appreciate it. Check out my podcast at Football Philosophy, available on Apple Podcasts. I have some good info each and every week.
Football Philosophy
segment. Yeah.
Beautiful. How long have you been doing it for?
I started this season, so episode 8 posted yesterday.
Outstanding. Thank you so much, Phil. Good luck with the podcast. We'll be sure to give it a listen.
All right, guys, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it.
That's a definite listen. And you can't spell philosophy without Phil, which is, I'm sure, part of the play on words. Because
well played.
Thank you. And the guy knows his football when it comes to college players, prospects. The Senior Bowl, right, is his
correct.
His baby. So
I don't know if he's still doing that, but I know he's still connected to everything. He was calling Alabama games. He knows the South very
yes,
well.
Yes, he does.
Where you're trying to get your son to go to college.
Yeah, Alabama. I should have him talk to old Uncle Phil. See if we can't get my boy Roll Tide. Yeah.
There we go.
Tua is 25-0. 25 TDs to no INTs.
Amazing.
I thought that was his record.
He compared him.
He's Mike Jordan. 25-0.
Touchdowns. Wow.
Do you know that if you bet Alabama to cover the first half spread this season, they've done it in every single game? It's the most bankable bet out there. Even more bankable than Fresno State because they missed just one spread.
Wow.
Tedford 17-3-1 over the last 2 years. Wow. Bama has covered the first half spread in every single game this year. Tua is unbelievable. He just compared him to Steve Young.
That's high, very, very, very high praise.
And I was thinking, is there a left-handed quarterback in the NFL right now? I know among starters, I don't think there's a starter.
No.
I was even thinking backups. Do we have a southpaw rolling right now?
Of course we got some backups, but not starters, no.
I don't even know if we have a backup.
Are we sure?
I'm
just trying to rack my brain quickly on who would pop as a lefty. I can't.
Buffalo's got like three quarterbacks, and one of them a lefty.
There's those two giant backups who we've never heard of. One of them might be a lefty.
Does Osweiler, maybe he throws it with his left hand. Hey, let me ask you this. That guy's 7 feet tall. When it's 4th and inches, why are they throwing it to Frank Gore? Why don't they just let that big
ostrich redwood just fall forward? I mean,
you're afraid he's going to get hurt? Who cares?
It's one of my favorite low breakdowns is why would you go 3 yards back to give it to a guy 5 yards back so now he needs 6 yards?
And you're like, absolutely now.
Makes perfect sense. So now when I see teams do that, it's like, dude, just take the snap silently and fall forward.
Drew Brees is 50 years old. They still got him doing it.
He's really good at it.
Oh,
he
yeah.
and Brady are great at
They're
it.
They're great at it.
But, I'm sorry, we're all out of time for this. We go from great to the opposite of great.
Throughout the history of time, legendary battles have been waged across the entire sports landscape. Ali versus Frazier, Bird versus Magic, Manning versus Brady, and now perhaps the fiercest rivalry of them all, Lorenzo Neal.
You gotta run. When you play football, newsflash, you gotta be able to run, Dibs. So
versus Dan Dibley.
Quiet, Lo. Shut your mouth, Lo.
Every Friday at 9:45 during the NFL season. Who will win this epic showdown? Find out now.
Oh.
he does that?
No, it really doesn't. It, the only thing is just waiting for him to actually do it. It's gotten longer and longer and longer. He's trying to stall me out.
All right, welcome to Low versus Dibs on the season. Dibs, 72 wins, 33 defeats, 2 ties. Low, 66 wins, 39 defeats, 2 ties. Dibs holds a 6-game lead. That does not include last night's game. You both picked Houston, so Dibs with 73 wins, Low with 67 wins. Regardless, it is a 6-game lead. Are we all in agreement of that?
We are in agreement on
the worst-kept data ever.
It's better than last year, by the way. Last year was a full debacle.
It's dramatically better,
yes.
Sadly enough.
Yeah.
It is no math majors
better.
Here.
So, 6-game deficit. Now, who is going first? Did Low win last week?
He actually did win.
So
second time all year.
So you get to decide whether you'd like to go first or second to set the trend. Now, I take it you probably have not looked at the slate at all, so you have no idea whether or not it's your advantage to go first or second. Which one do you want to do?
I'm going to go second.
All right.
I guess I'll go first then, Joe. Yeah.
Then Dibs will be going first. Music, please. We begin in London. 9:30 a.m. Eastern, 6:30 a.m. Pacific. It is the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, it's a home game for Jacksonville. They're comfortable there, but you got Blake Bortles at quarterback on a short leash. I like Philadelphia there in the Bortles factor. I'm taking the Eagles.
Low?
Yeah, I'm going to ride with them as well. Going to take your Philadelphia Eagles.
Both guys on the defending champs. Job well done. Game number 2, Low, we begin with you. The Pittsburgh Steelers off the bye taking on the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I'm going with the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's simple. I'm going with the Steelers.
But we'll be taking the Steelers. Dibs.
Yeah, Pittsburgh got lucky last time, and then they played to get the tie. They're going to hammer them this time. I am also on the Steelers.
All right. So, no blood yet. Game number 3, we will stay with Dibs. Kansas City hosting Denver.
It's a good one, and I think Denver is the kind of team that can rise up at home and make it difficult, but it's not a point spread. It's a pick 'em, and I'm going with Kansas City to win the game.
Low?
I'm same. I'm going to go.
Not going to shock the world?
No, I'm not.
All right, so we will move to game 4. We're all just hanging back, waiting for someone to make a move. Game number 4, Mitchell Trubisky and the Chicago Bears hosting the New York Jets.
Yeah, I'm going with the Bears. The Bears, that's right. This is where our difference is. We're going to finally got to differ here. I'm going with the Bears.
Dibs likes the Jets.
Yeah, nice try. As much as I don't like Mitchell Trubisky, that Bear pass rush is going to give the ginger quarterback a whole bunch of problems. I'm on Chicago.
I love it how that really lazy approach, you think you might bait him. I'm going to take the Bears, and this is going to be our first difference, Joe. Dibs, he just stares at you. He's like, no, I'll take the touchdown.
I actually
favorite.
Am the guy who does research and makes his picks. Gives a little effort, Joe.
All right, so we'll stick here with you. A good old-fashioned NFC East slobber knocker. The Washington Redskins at the New York Giants.
I was tempted to go New York Giants, but I think Alex Smith will be able to get it done for a failing Giants team. I'm on Washington in this one, Joe.
Washington, Low, Washington at New York to take on the Giants.
I'm taking the Giants. There we go.
Woo! We got a little bit of blood.
Yes. I like the Giants. Like
just
the
a few minutes ago, we listed the Giants as one of the 5 worst teams in football. The first distinction of the day. Low backing one of the 5 worst, but they're at home. They
at
are
home.
At home. Here we go. Low with you. Seattle off the bye in Detroit taking on Matthew Stafford and the Lions.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Motor City. I'm going to take Detroit.
Detroit Motor City. Dibs?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Seattle here, Coach.
Oh,
yeah,
you kind of
swung me. It's a 3-point spread, but that's only because Detroit's at home. It's a toss-up game, and I think Pete Carroll is going to get it done. I'm on Seattle.
We'll keep it right with you. Another close one. Cincinnati, the red-headed pistol, as we like to call him on this program, against Jameis Winston and the Buccaneers.
Too many injury concerns for me for Cincinnati. I'm going to roll with it's a hold your nose special, as you'd like to say, but I'm taking Tampa.
You're taking Tampa. Low, Cincinnati hosting Tampa.
Yeah, I'm going to take the home team. I'm going to take Cincinnati.
Ooh, a little bit more blood. All right, sticking there with you. Cam Newton and the Panthers. Well, welcome. One of the all-time greats, Joe Flacco and the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I'm going to take Joey and Flacco and the Baltimore Ravens, taking the road team.
Flacco?
I'm going to take Joey and Flacco, too, and the Baltimore Ravens.
Interesting. I figured that was a close spread, but both guys are going to...
Did I really?
I'm kidding. Calm down.
Local game. The Silver and Black, the Oakland Raiders, led by John Gruden. It's Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, we're not tanking, but we're also not very good. I'm taking the road team, Indianapolis.
Oh. I'm in the same church.
Oh,
what do you do,
that
Coach?
Brutal.
I mean, this is not
Low versus Dibs versus Joe. This is Low versus Dibs. I, for one, stand up for all local teams. You know what I mean?
Oh, that was nice.
You did take the Niners and beat the bookie.
I did. And I was very close to fading the Raiders, but that's a story for another day. Low, Arizona hosting the Niners.
Ugh. Yeah, that's a tough one.
I know. I caught you by surprise. You didn't see this coming.
No, I didn't.
Nobody saw this coming.
I thought that was going to Mr. Dibley. So I'm going to go with the Niners. Take the road.
I'm on the Niners, too.
All right.
I think I went Arizona.
Nice try.
Sticking with Dibs?
No.
The Rams are hosting the Packers.
I'm on the Rams, and he's going to want Green Bay, so this will be another switchola.
I'll switch the other one, though.
No, you don't get to, Coach.
All right, then I'll take the Rams. I'll take the Rams.
You, good game. Sunday Night Football, Minnesota hosting the Saints.
Yeah, I'm going to take Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm on the Vikings as well.
Ooh-wee.
Thank you, Kirk.
He just plays it. That's nice.
It's on the paper, Coach.
Yeah, they're picks. This isn't Mindhunter.
The only scratch out was when I purposely went against you. So you're wrong and you're out of line.
Buffalo hosting Patriots.
It's New England. Come on.
We ended on the worst possible note imaginable.
We have three differences, Coach. Washington Giants, Seattle Detroit, and Tampa Cincinnati. So there will be blood.
Three games nobody is interested in watching. Not even the gamblers or the fantasy football players.
That's how this contest works.
I'm gambling on one of these games and I don't want to watch it. That is all for us. Steiny and the Guru coming up next. Eric, guest free. 2 hours of takes for you, the beautiful listening audience. As for Dibs, Anna, Lo, and myself, we're out of here. Have a tremendous weekend. Keep it safe. Keep it smart. Have fun watching some football. We'll see you Monday at 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
Steph put on a show against the Wizards, scoring 51 points.
He checked three. Are you kidding me?
How will Steph follow up his big game under the bright lights of Madison Square Garden? Tune in today to find out. Coverage starts at 3, tip-off at 4:30 on the home of the NBA champs, 95.7. The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.